Well, first, I think that TSA needs to be applauded for finding these materials inside the bags, but in essence, it doesn't add up to me. In all probability, it's reasonable to assume these individuals were on the watch list. They're pulled off the line, and in a search of their bags, these materials are recovered. What I still have a hard time connecting is why they let these individuals travel on the outbound flight to begin with. I don't understand that just yet. I think in these kinds of cases, obviously, prudence dictates other kinds of investigative means, such as the maintenance crew, the other passengers on board the flight, turnaround time on the aircraft, and so forth. So the sequencing of these events, JJ, just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You know, having traveled abroad a bit in some airports like Schiphol and airports like Charles de Gaulle, I've seen unusual things coming along on the belt after luggage has been offloaded on airplanes. And what we've heard about this is that some of these things are put together because that's just the way certain people do it that come from certain places.
I don't buy that. I think, again, if you look at the whole genesis of this, I go back to if you have individuals that may have been on the watch list, that would have been your first indicator. You're going to go through that checked baggage with a fine-tooth comb. You find these materials cobbled together to look like some sort of possible hoax, improvised explosive device or IED. But again, I still don't understand why these individuals were allowed to travel because they were obviously picked up at the other end upon arrival. So something doesn't add up here in the sequence of events, in my opinion.
Dry run. What makes folks think this might have been a dry run?
I think if you look at the individuals where they were outbound for, it's my understanding one of the bags actually was bound for Yemen. You've got the interesting travel from airports that you would not necessarily think to be of high threat. But then again, bear in mind you had Abdul the Nigerian due to arrive into Detroit. I think everybody's on point for places like JFK New York or Dulles or Reagan or LAX, but some of these smaller airports with just not the volume is an interesting travel route. But again, I think there's some missing pieces of the puzzle here as to what occurred. I think it's very reasonable to assume, JJ, these individuals, at least by name, were probably of record and had probably pinged some sort of intelligence system.
Initially, we were told that neither of these men was on a watch list. Is it likely that maybe they were under some other names or known as some different individuals?
I would lean towards the idea, being with all the name variants and the different kinds of Soundex databases that we have capabilities to very rapidly access, that if you look at this in a 30,000-foot perspective, you have these two individuals, their circuitous route of travel outbound, where one of these bags was bound, the cobbled-together materials that make it look like some sort of possible hoax device. I think it's very reasonable to assume, JJ, that perhaps their names are of record and maybe a highly classified database of some sort, or through a liaison check. But again, I go back to why did the individuals get picked up at the arrival leg if there was nothing to worry about?
Okay, what's the takeaway here?
If you think about this in context of the notification process, in essence, if these individuals were not of concern, why were they picked up in Amsterdam? And it shows you the dissemination of the event while these individuals were in the air, which caused the authorities to take action once that flight was landed. And in essence, it may have taken that kind of turnaround time to do more deep dives into who these individuals were and to run some more rapid record checks.
Fred Burton, Vice President of Intelligence at Stratfor. JJ Green, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.